The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good evening, I'm Chua Tian with your Market View today. Now, earlier this week, U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell gave his most explicit acknowledgement to date that steep interest rate hikes could tip the economy into a recession, and it is going to be very challenging to achieve what he calls a soft landing. Testifying before the Senate Banking Committee, Powell also told lawmakers that the country must get back to 2% inflation. Now, he says the American economy is well-positioned to handle tighter monetary policy and anticipates that ongoing rate increases will be appropriate to quell the hottest price pressures in 40 years. Now, his comments send markets down as investors continue to mull the risk of a future recession. So the big questions remain. How are markets expected to react in the coming week? When will the U.S. economy slip into a recession? And what should investors be cautious about? Now, to take stock of the week, I'm joined by Steve Bryce, the Chief Investment Officer at Standard Chartered Wealth Management. Mr. Bryce, good evening.
Good evening.
The U.S. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is making a strong commitment to bring inflation down to that 2% mark. By how much should the Fed increase interest rates to achieve this, and when will we reach sort of like a steady state?
Well, I guess your intro actually sort of highlights the concern people have, right? That, that what should happen and what will happen could be very different, right? So very clearly, the inflationary pressures are largely, not totally, but largely cost and supply side in nature. And the Fed can do little, actually, to address that, of course. So if they're really trying to bring inflation down to that 2% and they're committed to that, and they certainly seem to be at the moment, the risk is that they actually over-tighten, and that leads to that recession that you're talking about. So our sense is that we're going to need to see a growth scare for them to change course. Obviously, as I say, the risk is that they overdo it and that turns into a recession. But we think interest rates are probably going to about 3.25% by the end of the year. So still significant tightening to come in the next 6 months.
So, but we all know that the Fed's meeting in July, they're expected to increase interest rates, some of them predicting the 75 basis points again. In your opinion, do you think that the market already has enough time to react to the current 75 basis point hikes before the Fed further hiked interest rates?
So markets, I guess, can adjust pretty quickly, and they did. So we've obviously seen a dramatic tightening in raising of interest rate expectations over the course of the year. So our sense is that markets actually probably pricing in a little bit too much tightening. Obviously, the economy takes a lot longer to react. That's the risk here, is that we know that monetary policy acts with long and variable lags, and therefore going too far too fast could lead to that downside risk.
Certainly. So at this point in time, do you think that we will be going too fast and too far if the Fed were to raise interest rates by 75 basis points and the coming meeting in July?
Wow, that's a good question. I think our sense is that, you know, it doesn't make sense to slow down on their interest rate hikes at the moment, because even with another 75 basis points, that would take monetary policy settings from still loose, actually, despite the tightening we've seen already, to about neutral. And given strong nominal growth and reasonably strong real growth, that should be acceptable to the economy and markets. Obviously, when you go beyond that sort of 2.5% neutral level, then the risks increase significantly. So I'd imagine they get there as quickly as they can and then they slow down.
Certainly. So with the latest comments from Powell, some market watchers, they are predicting a 99% chance of slipping into a recession. What are your thoughts, and when will the U.S. economy actually slip into a recession? This year, next year, the year after next year?
So, it's a million-dollar question, right? I mean, the probability of recession, of course, is 100%, because we will at some point get one. I think, you know, the way we look at it is saying, look, over the next 12 months, it's not the most likely outcome that we'll see a recession, but we're getting close to that 50% threshold, right? So the risks have significantly increased in the past month. We look at several recession warning indicators. You know, a month ago, two of those are flashing red, two out of about 12. Now four are flashing red, and another one's likely to go red fairly soon, which is the yield curve. So if two-year yields go above the 10-year yield, then that would be an inversion, and that would be a fifth one. So overall, we're moving in that direction pretty quickly. The strength of the labour market, though, is a significant positive, and that's going to be something really key to see how that develops and reacts to that rate hikes. So that's what we're probably looking at most now.
Mr. Bryce, we do see some economists over at some banks increasing the probability of falling to a recession next year, in fact doubling that probability. So in your opinion, do you agree with that? If your opinion is that we are not going to fall into a recession next year, why is that so?
Well, I think that we're sort of looking at a 12-month time horizon. So if you were to ask me a month ago, we would have probably said there's a 5-10% probability of recession in the next 12 months. That's jumped, in our opinion, to around 40%. So it has risen very sharp in a month. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic change in. Obviously, we're only a market forecast, but you know that probability is still much higher than we would like. So I think the trend for that increased fear is certainly there. As I say, if we saw some signs that inflation was easing significantly, that would reduce the probability because it would take the pressure off the Fed to tighten. But we'd obviously wait until that happens to reduce any probability.
Certainly. Mr. Bryce, we saw a slew of economic data this week, particularly the US home sales data. To what extent do you think the market activity has been caught by the ongoing rate hikes?
I think probably not too much yet. And that's the sort of variable lag, long and variable lag point, right? So growth was always going to slow this year, right? So that was never really in doubt. Second half, I mean, even at the turn of the last year, we were saying that second half will be weaker and a lot weaker than the first half. Now you've obviously had very significant tightening in financial conditions. So higher commodity prices, higher interest rates, higher bond yields, lower equity markets, and higher financing costs. So a lot is coming through. I'm not sure a huge amount has hit the economy yet. And that's probably the concern, is that we're slowing faster than we thought we would do, and we've still got some in the pipe from a growth perspective to detract from growth going forward.
If you're just tuning in, we're now speaking to Steve Bryce, the Chief Investment Officer at Standard Chartered Wealth Management. And Mr. Bryce, the University of Michigan will publish its final data on monthly consumer inflation expectations today. Some market watchers, observers, they're calling it a catalyst for violent swings in the financial market for the days ahead. What CPN numbers are you expecting, and how are markets in US expected to react to that?
Yes, I think we're sort of looking for, the consensus of Michigan inflation expectations for the 1 year to be around 5.5%. So that's not really a major change. In which case, markets are probably going to be fairly sanguine about it. We obviously saw significant volatility seem to have calmed down. So I think we're probably going to be really focused on the data coming out next week.
Mr. Bryce, maybe let's turn our attention to look at the financial markets in Asia and Singapore also. How much of a ripple effect do you think the uncertainties in the US is going to affect the region in the coming week?
So we see Asia and Singapore as on very different economic cycles to the West. So obviously ASEAN countries, for instance, are benefiting from the economic reopening and increased tourism flows post-COVID. And China is very, very focused on stimulating the domestic economy, both via monetary and fiscal policies. And we are seeing signs that starting to feed through into what we call a positive credit impulse, which should help support growth going forward. So from that perspective, we're over Asia ex Japan and also China markets. And obviously the Chinese president reaffirming the 5.5% growth target this year sort of reaffirms this view. For Singapore, I think, obviously for the bank, higher interest rates is going to be very positive. That's going to help, earnings going forward. From a REITs perspective, we'd favour logistics and hospitality, which we think is going to benefit more from the economic reopening trends. Obviously, office and retail are still going to face struggles, in our opinion.
I understand you have mentioned it briefly, but I just want to deep dive into it. For investors, especially those in Singapore, what should they watch out for in the coming week, and how should they manage their investment portfolio right now?
So I guess there's a lot of data coming out globally. I think that's probably what the key focus is going to be. So you've got business confidence, ISM manufacturing coming out of the States. You've got PMI data coming out of China, and you've also got some inflation data, US PCE inflation index also coming out. So I think those are going to be the key focus, alongside with Powell's presentation and speech at an ECB conference in Portugal. So there's quite a lot to look forward, and that's obviously ahead of the non-farm payroll or employment unemployment report a week later as well on Friday the 8th. So a lot to keep our eye on. Our view is that, you know, we think that bond yields are particularly attractive now. So we've been trimming equity risk and adding to bonds recently, which we think would be a good way to play the current environment.
Certainly. And one just very quick question, Mr. Bryce, before we go. Any final advice for our listeners who are tuning in right now?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we sort of saying we're trimming equity exposure, but I think, yeah, if we to look at it a bit more detail within the equity space, we are overweight Asia ex Japan, as I mentioned. So we think that's a good place to be given the different economic cycle. Mm. We're actually also overweight UK equities, which we see as relatively defensive in nature, higher dividend yielding stocks. So those are the two regions that we're overweight at the moment.
Certainly. Thank you very much, Mr. Bryce. And that was Steve Bryce, Chief Investment Officer at Standard Chartered Wealth Management on the line.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.